The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks.
Hello, Kath. Hello, sir. I heard the name Jennifer Rush. I mean, that is a blast from the past, guys. Yeah.
Isn't it just?
And she's still making just. Music. Isn't that interesting? Anyhow.
And I have to say, I am a fan. I was a fan. I still am a fan.
Do you know she's a tribe member?
I didn't know. Welcome yeah. to the tribe, Jen.
No, well, don't have to welcome her. She's always has been. It's just our knowledge that has changed. Rolene, what are you talking about today, Rolene?
Well, I tell you, who is a member of the tribe, having a lot to say, and I tell you, I'm getting quite a kick out of his party's payoff line for the elections, and that is Avigdor Lieberman, the head of Yisrael Biteinu, whose payoff line for his party is, make Israel normal again. I mean, it's not
oh, wow.
we ever were normal.
Oh,
but,
wow. Is that for real, or are you playing with us?
That is the tagline.
Wow.
But Israel will never be normal.
Exactly.
Like Israelis do things that they think are normal, but it's not normal for the rest of us in the rest of the world.
So I don't know if it's ambition on his part, or if he just doesn't know, or if he's just trying to piggyback off another very, very famous payoff line. But yeah, if you're driving towards Tel Aviv like I was this morning, and you see a big billboard with Avigdor Lieberman, Yisrael Biteinu, make Israel normal again. Well, he has said that if Likud and the Kahol Pelavan, the blue and white, who are reported to be the two front leading parties as we skid on down to the elections on the 17th of September, he says that if they are to enter into a coalition without his party, that he's okay with it. He's okay with a unity government that doesn't include him. He doesn't see it actually happening. He says, I doubt a wide unity government would be formed without me, but I would accept that. Maybe that's part of his strategy to make Israel normal again. And he also said that we want a broad national government, and we will recommend a prime minister without interfering with who heads any party or if there is a rotation. And he says, I think that it is possible to, and necessary to establish a broad national government with Likud and Blue and White and with Netanyahu. But then also goes on to say that perhaps our public debate should be focused on the kind of government and not on the identity of the prime minister. So I think he's taking a leaf out of another somebody who wants to make things great or normal again by taking a little bit of a zap at his opposition.
Wowie zowie. Tell me about your education minister who's maybe expressing himself a little too forcefully.
Well, yesterday we spoke about Lobstergate.
Yes.
And we made like a mountain out of a lobster tail. Today we have foot and mouth disease. I mean, if this is all part of making Israel normal again, then I don't know. You know, I don't know what kind of road we are headed on, guys. But our education minister, I love Kathy giggling in the background because I'm trying not to. But Rafi Peretz, who is the education minister, perhaps he himself needing an education on tact and diplomacy, has said that intermarriage among U.S. Jews and the diaspora is like a second Holocaust. And he reportedly said this during a cabinet meeting on July the 1st. And he basically what he said is that he said like a second Holocaust. He says in 70 years, the Jewish people have lost 6 million people. This is due to intermarriage. And if this, like, I mean, if anybody doubted his lack of tact, he had to say this while we had, while they had Dennis Ross, who is the chairman of the board of the Jewish People Policy Institute, try saying that after a few glasses of wine. And while they were discussing trends, he said that, and the Anti-Defamation League, who is based in the United States, they have come out quite strongly, and Jonathan Greenblatt, who is the CEO, has said it's inconceivable to use the term Holocaust to describe Jews choosing to marry non-Jews. It trivializes the Shoah. It alienates so many members of our community, and this kind of baseless comparison does little other than inflame and offend. And, you know, when we look at the two appointments, one for Transport Minister and the one for Education Minister, they're two recent appointments by Prime Minister Netanyahu, much to the disgust and chagrin of the Israeli people, who think that we're going to be sent either back to the Stone Age or biblical times as far as transport are concerned. And here we have to, you know, remove or open mouth to change feet. All this is doing is this is feeding Netanyahu's opposition in the run-up to these elections. And Energy Minister Yuval Steinitz, who's from the Likud party, had quite a bit to say that about this as well. He said, first, we need to stop disregarding and looking down on Jews in America that see themselves as Jews not only religiously, but even more culturally and historically. And this comes as at a time, and we've also had a few chats about it, where there is a growing chasm between Israel and American Jewry, and there's a lot of issues that American Jews are feeling that pushes them away from Israel. We had the whole crisis around egalitarian prayer, and now we have an education minister who's saying something that many of the Jews in America are going to find extremely offensive.
Another issue that the Jews in America might struggle with is a lack of transportation in Israel on Shabbat. Tell us about the story about Haredim threatening Ramat Gan mayor of a pilot project.
Okay. So the Ramat Gan City Council yesterday approved plans to maybe allow shuttle services on the city's major thoroughfares on Shabbat. And, you know, the things that we have to take into consideration is that Ramat Gan and certainly Tel Aviv enjoys a huge influx of tourists. And it is a pilot project. They are going to see how it goes. It's not going to be, a full-day running bus service, but, there will be provisions made. Now, cities like Haifa do have public transport on Shabbat, and the ultra-Orthodox factions, which include United Torah Judaism, have threatened the mayor, Carmel Shammah HaCohen, and they have threatened that she will pay a very, very, or he will pay a very, very, very heavy price politically. What this means, we don't know. They said that this decision is shameful and disgraceful, and it violates the status quo and ignores the feelings of tens of thousands of Ramat Gan residents who observe Shabbat. And they've also criticized the Speaker of the Knesset, Julie Edelstein, for giving the council this kind of authority over public transportation on weekends. Now, the mayor of Ramat Gan, who is extremely popular, has said that he's not really bothered by these kinds of threats, and he's not really bothered by seen negatively in some sectors of society. He says that, you know, he's met with a lot of religious people, many who go to synagogue or shul or Beit Knesset on the weekend, and they have no objection to it. So, watch the space. Things could get tricky in Ramat Gan on a Saturday.
They could indeed. Just very quickly, Rolene, about apropos normality in Israel, my very first trip to Israel ever, walking down Dizengoff Street, wanting to know the time, stopped an Israeli, said to him, "Do you have the time?" And he said, "Yes," and he carried on walking. So there you go. Normality,
God bless us. That's
exactly.
All I mean, you've been on our roads here, guys.